It's a great day in the Lord. Glad we're all here together to be able to worship the one true living God. Today we're kind of finishing up the I Am statements. Our scripture today is going to be out of John 15:1. We're going to kind of be around John 14 and 15 most of the time. We've got a couple other scriptures. But our scripture for today is right out of John 15:1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for gathering us together. Father, to hear your word. Father, to hear the truth. Father, to be able to allow it into our hearts. Father, to be able to penetrate us. Father, to be able to change our lives. Father, we just ask that you strengthen us and encourage us. Father, show us what you have to say today, Father, through your word, this living and true word, Father, that is your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so again, we're kind of finishing up the I Am statements. We've been doing that for the last, 7 weeks. And today we're going to be talking about the true vine. Last week we talked about I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you look, as we've been going through these, you see how they tie into each other. You see how they how multiple times they talk. Jesus talks about the life. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. Right? So you see these things how they spill over into each other, and that's true again today with the vine. So we're going to kind of back up and kind of finish up. Last week we were in a conversation. Jesus was in a conversation with his disciples about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to kind of back into that just a little bit and continue on. So we'll be in John chapter 14. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 901. And we're going to start in verse 15. All right, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So here Jesus is, again, they're kind of finishing up this conversation that they're having in this discussion, and he's teaching, right? He's teaching through everything that he's doing. And you know, if we'll back up just a little bit, he in verse 16, he's promising the Holy Spirit. Okay, he's promising to send the Helper, and we've talked about that before. That is the beginning of the change, right? The beginning of the change is, remember back from the Old Testament that God was with them, right? And here Jesus is saying in verse 17, verse 17, it says, because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So again, he's telling about this change that's about to take place. And that's what we reap from here in the New Testament as a New Testament church, right? He's foretelling that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to each one of us to dwell in us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's the promise that he gives to us, that he gives us the Holy Spirit, that we actually have God in us, that we become his temple. Right? That we become what we refer to as a Christian, a little Christ. Right? And so he's foretelling this. So then if you continue on verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. That's a big statement, because we know, if you understand what an orphan is, right? They don't have a mother or father. They don't have anybody to nurture them. Right? They don't have the guidance and the parenting. And to me, that is so sad. That's what's always kind of been in my mind about adoption, you know, to be able to help a young boy or young girl have something that they don't have, right? Have that guidance that only a parent can give, right? And that's such a beautiful thing to be able to adopt. And just like God adopted us, right? He called us and chose us, you know. So anyway, here Jesus is saying, look, we have an eternal Father. We have a Father that never leaves us. All right, my Father has passed away. All right, I miss him dearly. But I have an eternal Father. We have an eternal Father that never leaves us, no matter what happens, no matter who does leave us, right? No matter what happens, he's always there with us. And then verse 19, and again, catch these things that turn over and turn over and are webbed together. Verse 19, it says, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Right? Jesus is telling his disciples that there is eternal life. That I don't know that they understand that yet, right? Because they question a lot of things that he says, but he's telling them that he is eternal. And because we believe in him, because we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we have that eternal life. In verse 20, it talks about, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. That's that connection, right? That's that connection between us, the Father, Jesus, right? Remember, and if you go back and remember, right, God can't look upon sin, and us as sinful creatures, right? Jesus' blood covers us and gives us the ability to be plugged in to the Lord, right? To be plugged into him and be a part of something eternal, even when we're fallen, right? Even as saved Christians, right, we still sin. We still fall short. We still have things that happen that we do or say or that are not Christian, right? They're not the things we should say or do, right? It happens. But God is saying that he covers us and it allows us to be plugged into the Lord. And that's huge for us as Christians. So verse 21, it talks about whoever has my commandments and keeps them, right? You can ask a lot of people, and they can tell you a commandment, right? They may not be able to tell you all 10 commandments. There's a lot of Christians that can't tell you all 10 commandments, but there are those that have heard of the commandments, right? It's not about hearing, right? It's about keeping them. It's about applying those commandments to our lives, right? So Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, right? There's that equation, right? By being obedient, by keeping those commandments, by applying those things to our lives and being who God wants us to be. And again, it's not about works, right? It's not about do this, do this, do this, and you'll be saved, right? It's that relationship. Today I keep the commandments to the best of my ability because I love God. Not because it's a checkoff sheet and I go and I have to check, oh, I didn't murder today. You know, I didn't steal today. You know, it's not a checkoff sheet. It's a relationship that we have that we want to give ourselves to the Lord through what we do, through how we act, through what we say. You know, we want to keep those commandments. And here, verse 23, how intimate this is. He says, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's an intimate relationship, right? Not a lot of people just have strangers come in and live with them, and you live like strangers, and you don't have anything to do with each other, and right? That home environment is a relationship, right? When God says he comes and makes a home with us, and he's talking about inside of us, right? He's talking about the Holy Spirit in us. He makes a home with us. There's that relationship that can't be broken. That we have love for one another, that we obey his commandments, we show that love, we feel that love, we give that love to him, and he loves us. Right? There's definitely that give and take. Verse 26, it talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you can see these things, how powerful our Lord is. Verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." That's where we get what we have, right? It's not, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know God's word inside and out and every letter of it and have memorized every book. Right. I can't quote you the book of Revelation. I can't quote you the whole book of Genesis. Right. I've read it and I study it. Right. But it's the Holy Spirit that works through me that is able to draw these things when I think about just preparing for a sermon. You know, I give that to the Lord and I ask the Lord to help me and I ask the Lord to show me the things that he wants me to show us. Right. Whether it's for my sake or it's for our sake, but I draw upon the Holy Spirit that he brings to that remembrance that I can remember some other scriptures that tie into these things and be able to apply them. Verse 27 talks about peace. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." Right? That peace is that peace that has no understanding. Right? That peace is that peace that when everything's falling apart around us, we still have the Lord to hang on to. We still have that ground, that foundation. No matter what happens around us, that we're grounded in Christ and that we have our feet on that solid ground and not the sand. Right? Not that shifting sand that we don't know where to go or what to do. We know what God's word says. We know how to react. Maybe we react the right way or we don't. But we have that foundation to hold on to and to be able to apply to us. And I love this. And again, it's not about happiness, right? That when we lose a loved one, when things happen, we lose a job, that's not a happy moment. But it does not mean we can't have peace. It does not mean that we can't have joy in those things. I've realized for years now that the job that I have was given to me by the Lord. So if he takes it away, he has something else for me. And I turn that over to him all the time. That it's not me that does these things and performs these tasks. It's him through me. And so that becomes a ministry, right? My job is a ministry, just like everything else, just like my home, just like this community. It's a ministry. And we have to see that and apply that and be able to take everywhere we go, we're taking the Lord with us, right? Well, Luke and I had a moment Friday night on the field. You know, God wasn't in that, and he needs to be. But it's a teachable moment. Right, it's a teachable moment that no matter what happens, no matter what happens to us, that he's still there with us, and we need to remember that and hold on to those things. But I love verse 30. It says, because, you know, here Jesus is foretelling the end, right? He's foretelling that he's about to be crucified, that things are coming to an end. And he says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, right? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Satan. Satan's coming. And he is the ruler of this world. The only reason why is because God has deemed that so. God has allowed that, right? And again, you fall back into Job, right? God allowed Job to be tested. Satan doesn't just run free. Everything has to go through our Lord. But here Jesus says, he says, he has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Right? Satan has no command over Jesus. Right? It's not Satan versus Jesus. Right? It's not Satan versus God. God created everything. Right? If you want to compare, maybe, right, because Satan was an angel, you could compare maybe Michael, the archangel, to Satan. You know, but there's not, it's not God versus Satan, right? The end has been written. If you've read the Bible, right, if you've read Revelation, the end has been written. And we're just living through some of the beginning of the end, right? So, all right, so let's continue on. And this gets into our scripture. It says, chapter 15, it starts out, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may also give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. So here Jesus is telling them again who he is, right? These are descriptions. These are his own descriptions to be able to show them who he is and be able to let them know and give them terms that they can understand, right? They were very agricultural. That they grew grapes, right? They made wine. They did all these things. So they understand these analogies. Today, it's a little bit foreign to us, right? We don't have a lot of vine dressers here in the crowd today, right? But that's okay. We can still understand being plugged in, right? Just like our iPad and our cell phones, right? We need that power and we need that plugged in. Right, so here, here Jesus is saying, "I am the vine, right? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, right?" And again, what's the purpose of the vine dresser? The vine dresser comes along and he clips off the dead vines, right? Sometimes he prunes off some of the good ones so that it'll make more good ones, right? So here, you know, apply that to our lives. Okay, God comes along. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we start becoming obedient. Right, we start following the commandments. We start bearing fruit, and we'll get to what that fruit is. But we'll start bearing fruit, but there's things that have to go. Right, there's things that have to go. There really is. I look at my own life. There are things that I really enjoy doing. I have hobbies that I enjoy doing. Have I done those hobbies very much? No, I haven't, because they take time away from the things that I need to do now. From studying God's word, from preparing sermons, from doing all these things, and that's okay. And it doesn't make those things bad, right? There's a lot of good things out there. And we as Christians have to be very careful in how we spend our time, right? Because there's many, many, many good things out there. That's not what God wants for us, right? He wants the best for us. And we have to be very selective, because the world, right? Satan wants to pull us in all these different directions, right? Keep us real busy, so that we don't have time to spend in His Word, so that we don't have time to do Bible studies or whatever the case may be, right? If He can keep us busy with things that don't matter, then we become ineffective, is what it is. And it's the same way with meeting together, right? It's the same way with making these appointments with each other and breaking bread together. Those things are important. We need to cherish those things. We need to protect those things and say, look, you know, maybe my softball team can wait. You know, maybe that the fishing hole can wait, because I have other things that the Lord is drawing me to. You know, those things sometimes become more important, and they should, right? As we mature in Christ, those things should become more important. You know, I think about when God talks about He is the potter and we are the clay, right? He forms us the way He wants us, right? There's things that we want to do, and whether it's our hobbies or whatever the case may be, there's things that we want to do that, guess what? They're not what God wants us to do. And He has a way of taking those things away and making those things happen, right? But let's go back and pay real close attention to this, because to me this is so important. Okay, so verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So stop and think about that. Every branch in me. Okay, Jesus Christ is talking about salvation. He's talking about those that are saved. Every branch in me. There is not a lost person in that statement. Okay, so He's talking about the saved. He's talking about those that are saved, that believe in Jesus Christ. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Okay, remember what that fruit is. That fruit is obedience, right? And we'll get into what exactly the fruit is. He takes away. So how does God take these things away? And you know, in my opinion, and I've seen it in my own life, you know, that there can be death occur, right? It doesn't mean that person wasn't saved, right? It doesn't mean that God didn't love that person. But what's He saying? He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. That's a sobering thought. That's a very sobering thought. That makes me realize that every day that we wake up, every day that our eyes are open, right? Because none of us go to bed telling our heart, hey, you got to beat to at this amount for this long every night, you know, until I wake up. You know, nobody has those instructions given to themselves. God wakes us up, right? He opens our eyes. So every day that our eyes are opened again and we have another day, to me, God has a plan for us. He has appointments that should be made, right? Whether we know them or not, right? And part of my prayer every morning is, Lord, prepare me for Your appointments. I don't know who they are, but there's somebody that will come across my path that needs truth, that needs God's word breathed into their life, right? That's a true statement, and so if we look at that and we look at our life as a ministry, then it kind of helps us along. It kind of gives us purpose, right? Every day that we wake up, we have a purpose. God has given us a purpose for that day. whether we see it or not, but we have to continue to open our eyes, right? Continue to die to ourselves, right? And accept that we are here for the Master. We are here for Him. All right, so again, I hope you see the gravity in those words, that God is telling the truth in those things, right? But then he goes on, he says, every branch that does bear fruit, okay, that he prunes that it might bear more fruit. So even when we're doing the things that we should be doing, right? Even when, and I don't know about you, but if you've ever had something pruned off of you, whether it's a mole or whatever the case may be, it's painful, okay? It's painful. But God prunes us, and he makes us to where we grow more, that he grows us, that he's able to help us to do more for him, right? To be a better Christian, right? To reach more people, whatever that looks like. There's all kinds of things that you can look at. You know, I again, going back to my own family, when my dad passed away, that was hard for me. That, to me, that was a pruning, because I relied a lot upon my dad. And God was saying, rely upon me. I am your father. Right? He is our father. It's so much bigger. It's so much more than earthly. Right? It's so much more than earthly. You know, when my boys were baptized, you know, my statement to them was, we are now brothers in Christ. Right? Our relationship has changed. Yes, I'm still your earthly father, right? But we are brothers in Christ. And that's a change in our relationship. All right, so again, if you put it all together, right, for those that are saved, there's two choices, right? There's two choices. Either we produce, or God's going to retire us. Either we produce more fruit, or God's going to retire us. That's what His Word says. That's not what I say, right? If it was up to me, you know, because you think about retirement, right? Everybody thinks about retirement and, hey, I get to quit working. I get to put my feet up. I'm done. You know, I've arrived. I get to go on cruises every week. I get to do vacation. Every day's a vacation. That's not for the Christian. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural, right? Our retirement is that last dying breath, right? Then we go to eternity, right? Then you know, then we can say we retire. All right, so on to verse 3. It says already you are clean, but because of the word that I've spoken to you. And remember, go back and remember the conversation before, when Jesus is washing their feet and he's talking to, and Peter's saying, well, not just my feet, but my whole body, right? And Jesus is saying, you know, you're already clean, right? He's telling his disciples, you're already clean, right? And he touches on that again. But again, all right, so verse 4, it starts talking about abide in me. And that word abide, I don't hear that very often. I don't use that word. I don't hear many people that use that word. But what he's talking about is obedience, right? He's talking about observing, obeying, following. Okay, so think about that when you hear that word abide. So verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Okay, so it's a part of that vine, right? It's following that vine, and that's where we're at. So verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, okay? So again, if we're not plugged in, right? And this is where God's talking about the lost, okay? We talked about the saved, right? So here he's talking about it. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire. Okay, so again, that's a scary statement, because if you look through the Bible and you do any kind of a search or study about fire, and again, God created that. He created that for His use, right? You go back and you look at Moses with the burning bush, right? He created fire, right? He created these things that we see. But I think about Revelation 20 when it talks about the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14 says, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay, so when God is talking about these branches that are not in Him, right? These are the lost that are burned, that burn eternally. And that's a scary thought, because that we don't want that to be us. We don't want that to be our loved ones or someone that we know. And I was talking to Miss Sherry today, just even we don't want that for our worst enemy. We don't want that. As a mature Christian, we don't want somebody to die and go to hell and burn forever, you know. That to me, that is a literal and true place. And I don't want any part of that. I don't want anybody that I know that I've come in contact with to have a part of that. So verse 7, it continues on. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." And that's it. That's our whole purpose, right? That we glorify the Father. He has put us here as extensions of Him, right? His hands and feet, to glorify Him. We don't do these things for our own accord. We don't do these things so that we can bring ourselves glory, so that we can get a pat on the back and earn money or whatever the case may be. You know, here at this church, we don't gather a salary. I don't do this for a paycheck. You know, I do this for the love of the Lord. And that's, to me, that's what we should be doing. But again, all right, so we talk about bear much fruit. And again, that's our purpose. But here, this fruit, what fruit is he talking about? Because on and on, he's talking about, you know, bearing much fruit. The fruit that he's talking about is out of Galatians 5:22, right? And that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? That fruit of the Spirit should be in us, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, faithfulness, gentleness, right? Those are the things that God's Word says against such things there is no law, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit that should be pouring out of us, right? That should be growing out of us if we're plugged into the vine, right? And again, remember, Jesus said, "I am the true vine," that we should be plugged into Him. We should be a part of Him. Turn over, if you will, to Ephesians. And this is just a couple of books over, page 978, if you're in the Pew Bible. And this is Ephesians 5, starting in verse 6. And that's 978, if you're in the Pew Bible. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So again, remember, plug these things together where it talks about, "I am the light," right? Jesus said, "I am the light." He is the light that should be shining through us, right? And that's, I love that. There should be fruit that is shining through us. One more scripture we're going to turn to, Luke 8. And this is page 865, Luke 8. And this is the parable of the sower. And I love how it ties into bearing fruit. But this is one of my favorite parables, but it's also a very sobering parable. It's also a very scary parable when you start looking at how many different people he's talking about and what he's talking about. So starting in verse 4, this is Luke 8, verse 4. It says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and were trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, right? They're needing some clarification, okay? So we're not just the only dullards, right? They're needing some clarification too. So he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Right? So you look at these four soils. There's four different soils that Jesus is talking about. And I don't know if y'all caught this, but what I catch is there's only one good soil. Right? So if you do your equations, if you do your math, that's one out of four. That's 25% if you want to break it down percentage-wise. But that's another story. So when it talks about the path, right, they have heard, then the devil comes and takes it away. Okay, so there are some that will hear God's word, and I pray that that's not today. I pray that that's not any of us. But there are some that will hear God's word, and when they step out those doors, that the devil comes and takes that away. That's a scary thought, right? That's a very sobering thought. Right. And then he talks about the rock. Right. That there are some that there is seed that will be thrown on the rock. They'll hear it and receive it with joy. Right. But there's no root. Right. That it starts to grow. But because there's no moisture, because they're not being fed, that it dies. And then there are some that are thrown into the thorns. Right. They grow. Right. Right along with the thorns. Right. They hear. But what they hear is choked out by life, right? By the cares and pleasures and all these things, right? Again, Satan wants to keep us busy. If he can keep us busy and distracted, then we're not effective as Christians. And that's, to me, that's one of his greatest tools, is busyness, right? And we bring it into our own homes, right? I'm almost thankful, honestly, to AT&T, Sean, because I don't get a very good signal, right? So guess what? When I go home, I don't have service. So my phone doesn't ring very often. Now, I put my home phone for emergencies, you know, because I'm an athletic trainer and we have teams out and what have you. But again, my phone doesn't ring that much. But that's a blessing these days, where, like I said, life is so busy and there's so much, you know, you got all the, everything, the Facebook and the everything, and you're plugged into all this stuff, and everybody wants a survey and a response, and on and on and on. That's Satan attempting to distract us and keep us ineffective. You know, we have to be grounded in his word. We've got to section out times of our life and our day to say, I devote this to the Lord. Whether it's in prayer, whether it's in Bible study, whatever those cases are, that we devote those things to the Lord. So let's finish up in John. We're back in John verse 9. John 15 verse 9. Right? But what I want you to see the theme that runs through this last little section. Okay? Verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Right? So we see this love theme that Jesus is consistently pointing out. But within that, there's a friend theme that shows itself. So let's continue. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to tell them, you are my friends. No longer are you we're not servants, right? Jesus calls us friends. That's a change in relationship, right? Because we call ourselves, another name for Christians is slaves. We are slaves to Christ, right? There is an obedience to Christ that is beyond measure, that is beyond understanding as a friendship, but it's driven out of that love, right? I am a slave to Christ because I love Jesus Christ more than life itself, right? Because ultimately, he is life. Just like we talked about, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. My life is in him. So no matter what happens here, no matter what happens on this earth, I still have life. He is that life. Right? But again, he wants us to have that relationship. He wants us to have that love for him, to have that friendship, right? To have that relationship with him. And that is so precious, right? And he says it two different times, verse 7 and verse 16 are very similar. And what he's saying is, he says, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to ask in his name, right? Not of our own accord. Not of the thing, man, I want that new car. I got to have that new car, whatever it is. You know, I got to have that new house. Not those things. Ask in his name, right? There are several people that I'm praying for. I'm praying for salvation, right? I'm talking about eternal things. We need to be praying about eternal things that matter beyond today, right? Beyond what we see in front of us. Those are the things that we should be asking in his name, right? And showing ourselves as who we are. So we'll have our musicians come forward. I hope and pray. That again, you turn around and read these things, that you turn around and apply these things that you've heard, that they change your life, because God's word is powerful. His word says that he is powerful, that he changes things. And it's through this word in our heart that we become new people, right? That we become new creations. And that's the beauty of it. But again, the altars are open. If you need somebody to pray with you, we're here to pray with you. We love you. We want the best for you. Our tithes and offerings are open. Do that with a grateful heart, right? Worship God and sing a new song. Let's pray. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll start. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for your word, Father, that never goes void. Father, that always goes forward, Father, and that is so powerful, Father, to change our lives, to make us new creatures. Father, we just ask that you help us to apply these things that we've heard. Father, that they not snatched out, Father, when we leave this place. Father, but they impact our hearts, Father, and they start to grow. Father, help us to water these things, Father, and to cultivate these things, Father, in those around us that we know and love. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you have made. Father, that we can come together as a body of believers and worship you, the one true living God. Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.